I'm living in a 21st century, doing something mean to it. Do it better than anybody ever seen. Do it, scream from the haters. Got a nice ring.
And that's the mix of Black Rider 2000, an arcade theme song that's mashed together with Kanye West's Power, created by DJ Dane. You may find his other mashups in SoundCloud.com/DJ Dane. Hello and welcome to this inaugural episode of All Units, a weekly podcast that will be covering news and related topics from the world of video games, film, TV industry, and much, much more. I'm your host, Thomas Ma, from Centennial Journalism Program. The name All Units came from Halo Wars, Microsoft video game that is exclusive to Microsoft 360 consoles. In any case, so let's get to the first topic, the film, the recent film. This segment is called What Have I Been Watching, where I talk about the recent movies and TV show that I'm watching and have a discussion about them and explanation about my opinion towards what I have been watching. For TV shows, I recently watched a 2-hour-long season premiere of Terra Nova, produced by Steven Spielberg on Fox. The setting picks up in a dystopian future where it became a totalitarian world. Global warming has apparently made Earth non-breathable due to air pollution being hazardous, causing people to wear air masks. The story centers on the Shannon family, who apparently gave birth to a third child, which the plot didn't explicitly tell us about why she wanted a third child. This third child has come under the attention of the police, who then arrest the father, played by Jason O'Hara, who was a tug cop that assaulted them to save the kid and was sent to jail. 2 years after, his wife visited him in prison to break him out during the 8th pilgrimage, which travels back to prehistoric times, and the one fortunate enough can travel back in time to resettle their lives and compensate their faults for being the future Earth being inhabitable. The family reunites with their dad and makes a break for it to the portal, but gets apprehended by the authorities when they jump through the other side of the portal and travel through a new settlement. When they arrive to the settlement, they're greeted by the commander, played by Steven Lang, who gave Shannon family a second chance since the mother of the family is a brilliant doctor. The family has been able to have a second chance within building another new world. My first impression was that it felt too much like another Spielberg-produced show, Falling Skies. The reason is because of the familiar themes of having a family drama within a sci-fi universe, and the struggles of mankind against an unknown foe. I felt that Spielberg tries too hard to derating himself, attempting to make something that shouldn't exist within these shows. Like, the problem is that his fam dramas is that it was ripe with stereotypes, especially having a family consisting of an overprotective cop of a father, a concerned mother, a smart older brother, an adventurous and cute younger daughter, and a rebellious brother who hates his father. This is just another stereotypical family in most family dramas, and it feels like the writers in the show lack some creativity, especially when the story doesn't give into detail of their backgrounds and such. The other problem lies within the script, the fact that they use less of the dystopian future and the real the abortion law, and there should be more about how they were able to create a time traveling portal to 80 million years back to prehistoric time, And why would they go back, want to go back to that era? Furthermore, I would predict that they will explain it, the whole time travel consequence later on, but going back in time will lead to more problems in the future that they're going to create, like a steam, like a time machine. Have you ever watched that? Or anyways, for film, I recently wrote a film review. So I haven't watched any recent movies this week, but one of the previous movies that I watched is The Guard, directed by John Michael McDowell, who is a brother of Martin McDowell, who directed In Bruges, a dark comedy starring Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. This movie also stars Brendan Gleeson, with Don Tenley, Liam Cunningham, and Mark Strong. For two brothers, I think John Michael makes a better movie than his brother, in my opinion. I just find it funnier than In Bruges, and I was actually laughing out loud in The Guard than the other movie. The Guard stars Brendan Gleeson as Sergeant Jerry Boyle, who is stationed in a rural town in Ireland. From what the opening tells you, establishes the characters already, and the same with when he gets assigned with another police officer from the city. Although when he is tasked with another officer, a murder happens as it escalates to a group of dangerous drug smugglers with a drug shipment worth $500 million, and also lured a FBI agent, Wendell, played by Don Cherry, into this countryside to investigate. Boyle is quite pessimistic with having the city boys into his territories, and definitely knows the case than anyone else, when nobody there has a hint of clue. When Wendell first encounters Boyle, it's a fascination to him that all drug dealers are black, and the fact that Boyle doesn't know that it's racist sets a tone for these guys who work together. McDowell seems to add the comedic dealings of his brother into this one, as Wendell and Boyle must work together in this drug smuggling case. But here's the difference. Boyle doesn't want to be in part of this investigation, trying to infuriate Wendell in not helping this investigation. Also, Boyle tends with two prostitutes from the city, who they like role play as sexy police officers in bed. That's what I mean. Like any movie featuring a foreigner in another country, Wendell tries to investigate the town but fails to do so, mostly because the language barrier. Cheeto is just hilarious in these scenes. Like, but I feel the need to point out that he doesn't really sound like American in this movie. It felt like he attempts an American accent despite being an American himself. It's really confusing, I know, but his accent really annoys me throughout this movie. And of course, there's also like a group of drug smugglers who, by all accounts, shouldn't be hilarious. But McDowell, a weird name, insightful and snarky script. Like, these drug smugglers are actually interesting and not really the villains themselves. They're particularly a philosophical bunch that are actually aren't villains that you often hate in movies. The trio is played by Ian Cunningham, Mark Strong, and Dave Wimmett, who is the only hot-headed killer in the group, while others are like quite the talkative and hilarious bunch. I give this film 5 stars. This film, by the way, is pulled from a user profile, Winston, like my profile, off of screen.com, a website about TV, movie coverage, and much, much more. Okay, then television news. This isn't really recent television news, but keep in mind that this is like weeks ago. So, the first news is like Two and a Half Men star Ashton Kutcher was accused of splitting up with Demi Moore. This accusation was reported based on users on Twitter and tabloids who read between the lines and suggested that the two couples are splitting up. But in the premiere of Miss Hurley's film 5, she stated that she would not answer any questions regarding her husband. Twitter followers of Moore explained some quotes that allegedly hinted of splitting up, from one philosopher quote by a Greek philosopher to a topless shot of herself that was posted earlier this month by her and left many clueless. Other rumors speculated by Star magazine were fought by Kutcher of infidelity. Last year, when a 21-year-old girl claims that he has slept with him. This rumor sparked that Two and a Half Men star threatens to sue the magazine publication. He then criticized Star magazine of writing fiction and a cheater. My opinion would be, like, according to these several sources, like AOL TV, which fault? Yep. This TV show may be cursed and cause a culture like Shane relationship problems and other scandals. For example, like Kutcher having relationship problems with Demi Moore, just like when he debuts in the show. Like, it just really shows that the Vatican warlock priest, as Shane describes himself, does curse upon the show. And since Shane was also having relationship problems back then. One of the problems why this rumor came into place is because of the people on Twitter assumed that they were both tweeting, both are splitting due to Morris tweets of tweeting philosophical quotes and other cryptic tweets that may have happened to transcribe as a hint. To me, it's just like ludicrous, like that people that find the time to assume this type of stuff. Like, another problem is that Kutcher is accused of infidelity with 21-year-old girl that first sparked from Star magazine, then succeeded on slamming and threatening to sue Star magazine because of this alleged claim. Another topic is this is a very, very ridiculous too. Los Angeles Police Department is investigating a suspicious delivery found on Wednesday that's addressed to a popular television show, Dancing with the Stars, that contained a white powder that is reportedly harmless. The delivery contained a suspicious white powder that was found in a mail room in CBS Television City studio around 2 p.m., according to Richard French, a spokesperson for the LAPD. Hazmat teams are called in to inspect and test the white powder and declare it to be harmless. It's reported that no one was injured or exposed to the powder. This suspicious package of white powder isn't the first to be delivered to CBS. Last month, a late-night talk show, Late Show with Craig Ferguson was disrupted due to a package containing the same white powder that was also turned out to be harmless. My opinion is that, like, what confuses me is how and why, like, this white powder was delivered and addressed to the Dance of the Stars. Like, at first, I thought this white powder was harmless, and I wanted to show it, and due to it being, like, it's being very overrated, and it's just ridiculous, but it's just, like, harmless, according to the police. I also thought it was cocaine that was being delivered. The white powder was first perceived as anthrax. But they figured out that it's not, and still are investigating who delivered that package. Then for the new releases for TV films, new releases seems to be a mixture of films in theaters, worldwide, while others are probably limited or to DVD releases that no one really watches because they are often are terrible. Again, keep in mind this is 2 weeks, like I wrote this like 2 weeks ago, so one of the biggest hits like 2 weeks ago, as I call, is 50/50, a drama comedy with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen, and the movie Margaret with Matt Damon and Anne Pilgrim. Other films include What's Your Number, a romantic comedy with Chris Evans and Anna Faris, and Batman Year One, an animated film, and The Way, directed by Emilio Estevez, starring Michael Sheen. Yeah, there are other ridiculous films such as like Sarah Palin, You Gotcha. Like, I really don't get why Sarah Palin is making another movie. Like, whatever. But that's it. And definitely look towards 4 to 50/50 because of that trailer. I find Gordon-Levitt could pull off a comedic movie, a drama movie with Seth Rogen cracking jokes, and there will be like a moment where there's certain conflicts, like typical with each of them, and then Rogen helps them in the end. Like, films like that often does the same formula of conflicts and interests that make it compelling. But if you like me, who watches lots of movies, then it's not really a treat, but it gets predictable and lame. Sorry. Anyways, Margaret is somewhat appealing, considering that this film has been in a number of lawsuits and editing problems back in 2005. It's about Anne Pilgrim's character in a movie seeing a back bus accident that rammed and killed a mother, and no one seems to believe and trust her, but probably like Matt Damon is gonna trust her, whatever. Although watching trailer again, there's definitely some romantic interest with Damon and Pilgrim, or whatever. And considering that Damon plays a teacher in a movie and Pilgrim plays as a student, shows like May-September relationships that involves an older guy in love with a younger girl, which is like taboo in the Western audience, but in the Japanese audiences, like, they don't find it disgusting. Okay, moving on to video games. These current news topics are not current 2 weeks ago. Sony, like, in terms of service, one of the big news today is in the gaming industry is Sony asking you to waive your rights to sue them rather than other means like arbitration, or whatever, called the binding individual arbitration. For reasons unknown, Sony is asking people to sue rather than by any means, but had uphold a right in the terms of service to do so. But since terms of service enables you to access the online network on your PS3, it's a hard bargain to deal with. Since PS3 has been hacked in April, that's probably the reason why this feature is implemented into the terms of service, and was sued by someone in the States that bring it to the Supreme Court. But since there's only one person suing the company, people need to drive the hard bargain to sue the company, with hundreds and maybe thousands of people hear your voice heard against a large company such as Sony. Although a Washington attorney pointed out that there's an opt-out option hidden in terms of service, but people who play games in PlayStation Network need to write a letter to Sony Network Entertainment in a statement that you don't wish to resolve disputes through arbitration. But this doesn't apply worldwide to the Europe and Australia. The next topic is the next news story is like new Homefront game in March, Homefront multi-platform game for Xbox 360, PS3, PC. From Chaos Studios, who was released and had received a mediocre review for its blandness and weak story. Since the blockbuster games such as Modern Warfare 2 has been a selling point for first-person shooter, the viral marketing for this game is however great. Having full motion videos instead of gameplay and trying to stylize and make the Korean invasion more exciting for gamers everywhere, but the viral marketing. There are times that these doesn't match together, and what comes out is most a generic game. This reaction is probably why Chaos Studios was shut down and was shifted to another office in Montreal. But apparently, a bad movie that rounds out the sequel, Homefront, is apparently now going to be developed by Crytek, who made Crysis and Far Cry. Crytek is known for insane graphical design in games that require you to purchase a monster of a computer that is capable of handling the game. It's also known that this Crytek previous game, Crysis 2, didn't apparently be capable of handling on console, but it's still great on great shooter on PC and with its outline and online modes. Chaos Studios, however, did a great job with the graphics, but in having Crytek attempt to reduce Homefront into something worth playing will be difficult. There are many doubts about this new Homefront game, but I just hope that the sequel will be better, or just a rather bland game with just fantastic graphics. Thanks. So in the next news, the final news will be negative reviews on Metacritic hurts Signal Studios. Signal Studios that released Xbox 360 downloadable game during the summer on arcade. A number of DLC games or downloadable games that Microsoft usually selection of games that worth playing and release it during the summer. Toy Stories Cold War has a problem. When this game has launched, there has been a barrage of negative scores without reviews that took this summer arcade rating down. This definitely hurts Signal students since Metacritic is a popular outlet to determine the success of sales with how high your score is on the site. Metacritic is a popular rating site that totals game reviews outlet scores on their reviews and totals them with user reviews. Small and independent companies such as Signal Studios require good and high ratings so they can able to get royalties and bonuses. Community manager Logan DeMelt want to respond to fans by pleading to them to boost up your rating, to boost up the rating on the site and provide a thoughtful review, and you will receive a free copy of Cold War. Metacritic had received criticism due to this and the faults of having users in the community blindly able to read whatever score they desire is perceived wrong. It's maybe all this skate this days and a variety of people voting the same score or share intimate forum. We never know that the details, but it's definitely abusing the rating systems on Metacritic. Other independent companies such as Supergiant Games, makers of Summer Arcade, Bastion, also received the same treatment, had mentioned this issue, rallying others to increase the rating of this independent downloadable game. The Metacritic site has a report abuse button within this video that sent to the team to solve it, or can contact the co-founder Mark Doyle on addressing this issue. Only time will tell when Metacritic is able to solve this entire issue and its rating abuse. Okay, this final section, last section, is called from the newspaper, where I read this recent happenings. But though this first podcast, I want to change it up a little bit. It's altered to find weird the weirdest stories from news publications and such. The first story is hilarious and hilarious and serious at the same time. Like, a man was hurt after a pumpkin theft at Quebec grocery store. Old man was trying to sell a group of teenagers, trying to tell, sorry, a group of teenagers to give back up the pumpkin that they had stolen in a IGA grocery store on a Elmer section on Guano in Thursday night. According to CTV, old man asked the kid to bring back the pumpkin, which prompted the kid and his friends to confront old man, and that sent him to the hospital in a critical condition to Guato's police officer, The teenagers then fled to a nearby McDonald's restaurant and have not been caught since, and police would try to get surveillance photos from the restaurants in hope of apprehending them. Well, my opinion is that Wilm said that the old man was cornered by a group of teachers teenagers and beating up badly. It's really unbelievable that the group of teenagers want to steal a pumpkin from a grocery store. Look, I'm not here to advocate that stealing, but this news story is just confusing. Is it because since it's close to Halloween that they will go through all the way to steal a pumpkin? I just find it ridiculous, and it's upset in time. At the same time that a group of teenagers do such an outrageous stunt and then beat up the old man for telling them to bring back the pumpkin. Like, how dumb are these, like, kids to get in trouble, more trouble, when they actually are? And how sensitive are they to get so upset when they already know that they're going to jail afterwards? Like, when, like, they fled to McDonald's restaurant, like, How did the police was able to track them down? Like, after, like, these kids are, like, clearly out of their minds to steal a pumpkin and gravely injured a poor man. So, look, here's another story. A bear is spotted in a Fat Tony's restaurant in Whistler, BC on Monday. 2 weeks ago. Not this Monday. It's seen raiding a restaurant for a pizza. Huffington Post Canada reports an infamous and amateur video clip from YouTube shows a black bear come into a restaurant and devouring a whole pizza pie while customers were asked to leave, as this urinating intruder is consuming the said pie. It's a coincidence that this health sign on the store window, which is probably why this furry creature wanted a job. But joking aside, this occurrence resulted because bears rely on berries as the only source for survival and in a cold winter. But due to heavy snowfalls and seasonal changes, berries are ripened to eat. My opinion would be, it's really sad that the bear has no food to fatten for the winter season. Since berries are the primary source, and being that bear crop season has been worse since 1994, it's no reason why these bears, like this one, wanted something to eat. Since I don't know much about Tony's restaurant because I live in the East Coast, I think the bear should order and devour a meat lover's pizza instead of eating hot peppers and onions. Like, ew. But that's no excuse. Like, any topping would be great. Well, except olives and fish. Like, that's disgusting. That would really suck. Or margarita pizza. It would be hilarious if one of the employees spiked the pizza, and then the bear gets drunk and passes out. Yeah. But in the end, bears should never eat pizza. They should eat beets and beat Battlestar Galactica. Right. okay, count down. This is my last words. That bear eating, that pizza eating bear was the best news I ever heard, and it's sweet at the same time. And that's for our show today. I'm Thomas Ma from Centennial Journalism for this and another podcast, All Units, which is aired on today, which is Thursday, but it will be airing every Wednesday afternoon and we post it on Centennial On Demand or something, or I'm not sure what the name is. Until next time, I will see you next time. We'll see you next time on Centennial Journalism. Peace.
Ready to be a beautiful death. You got the power. And they said, you got the might.
No way.
And they said,
get ready for battle. Give me a